In my opinion, we have the reports, we know what they do, but we definitely also have to work very hard to make sure that our program makes sense, you know, where we make them to work together, together with us, Public Service Commission. You know, so most of the time, in my opinion, when we move forward, we are definitely going to pull a situation and move together with the department, we move together with also Public Service Commission. We need to start informing Public Service Commission of what areas we wish them to participate on, so that it actually informs our work. And then, you know, unlike they come up with a report and then whether we want to focus on that area or not. Fine, all the reports are relevant, but we also have to inform them at some point that country move into this area and work together. So, without any waste of time, honorable members also, giving an opening and actually saying the Secretariat has a prepared report, but we definitely need an engagement because we've already embarked on a process. How does it benefit us moving forward? And in my opinion, we still have a little bit more of tightening to do, a little bit more of concrete planning that we need to do so that when we move out here, step by step, when we sit here, we sit for, you know, that there are no free leisure sittings anymore. Every sitting that we have must benefit, must come up with something, must bear a particular fruit. So whatever time we utilize, but it should actually be part of how then to impact on the process within the public service and administration. And well, the unfortunate part of it for us is that it cuts across. So we then have this huge sea to deal with, and we must be strategic in moving forward. Thank you, Honourable Members, that you have a report in front of you. Any comments? I realize that members need some time to go through the report, which is still fine. Yes. Okay. I'll just get an indication of members, but I'm sure it's fine for us to get through the aspects of the report as well.
Objectives as outlined in the budget votes in terms of priorities, the state of the nation address. I agree with all of that up to there, and then it adds, and the manifesto of the ruling party. Now, I made that point during the deliberations at our strategic planning workshop. I would propose that we just put the full stop at state of the nation address, and we delete the rest of that sentence, reading and the manifesto of the ruling party. As I motivated then, I'm sure the ANC, like all other political parties, you know, through their branches and conferences and so on, they hold their own party to account through those mechanisms that exist. And certainly we in the DA do, but as parliamentarians here, as an oversight body consisting of multi-parties represented from various parties, we hold the government to account, and not the manifesto of the ruling party. So that's the motivation for just deleting that part of that sentence. Something that was picked up on page 6, 2.5 paragraph. It says one of the key findings that there was little harmonization amongst entities reporting to DIPSA. I remember we asked CETA, please CETA and Palama specifically, you know, about overlap and so. And then the answer was that no, they didn't find it a problem at all. In fact, that they sorted it out and they very clear exactly who does what. And please CETA gives them the accreditation, but Palama actually does the training. So that sounded fine to me, and I thought that we had, you know, we were happy with the explanation on that question. So I don't know if it's fair for us to still say that the findings were that there was little harmonization amongst those two entities. But I want to hear the comments of other members of the committee. And then on page 7, also a matter of question, on the second bullet point, CETA indicated that it plans to market itself and establish itself as a provider of choice. That's their goal. And it says here in the second, its clients, however, is government and is mandated by legislation to use CETA services. Now, I'm not sure that's correct. My understanding was that government departments make use of CETA if they wish to. That's why they say they're provider of choice, but they don't have to. They're not mandated. And many don't, actually. I know, I think their biggest client is the police services and one or two others, but by far large, actually, the majority of the government departments don't make use of CETA. They would like to have more government departments as their clients, but so they're not mandated. Not the way I understand it. Government departments actually have a choice, and many of them don't use CETA.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's possible that we can move on. It's possible that we can avoid this major legislation, but maybe we will have to find out next.
So if that's correct, then the last bullet point on that same page, still dealing with CETA and its role to government departments, it says it had a monopolistic role in the provision of ICT services to government. That would then not be true, because they do compete with other ICT companies. Okay. Madam Chair, and then on page 8, just the spelling, second bullet point. Greater synergy in the fields of public service was called for, since the entities, roles, responsibilities, and powers complement each other. COMPLENENC, meaning that they add on to each other, not complement. Telling somebody you look nice today, that's a compliment. It's just a spelling error there.
It was on page 2.
I looked at that. That's all from my side at this point. Thank you, Madam Chair.
In terms of the world, they might have said that too, but when you get to your point, when you read that person, I can be moving in and sometimes they will see that it's definitely overlapping. The CITICA has a unit in the organogram that unit deals with accreditation, with quality assurance, and so on. And I think it's true to that because all other CITICAs have that kind of material.
So, which I relate to, yes, they can help that. CITAS operate that way. They can help serve the National Qualification Forum, the SAQUA, and so on. When you go to Panama, they have a unit that also does the same thing in the organogram. So, in my opinion, that's a very clear overlap, you know, and actually when you engage them, they did, to a certain extent, accept that there is a little bit of overlap in that area. You know, what I was asking myself, Palama, how can they sort of develop the material that they also, you know, accredit themselves? You know, because sometimes you only see, you develop something, you implement it, nobody oversees it. So, but PCTA, it's still relevant in the way of overseeing them, but they definitely don't have to have that unit, in my opinion. And they also partially agreed, you know, but they actually said, but they still want to retain the IT. So they, you know, will find that the e-technology, the e-learning, yes, they talk about e-learning, which I think they're right. But also that e-learning has to be accredited, has to be overseen, but not by themselves. Maybe then if the role of if CETA was working well in terms of technology, it was also supposed to be overseen in terms of the training program by PALAM. So those are the areas I think, in my opinion, they definitely overlap. There is no synergy. Somebody wants to say, the other one wants to say. But even that e-learning, if then they utilize the CETA technology, it's within public safety and administration, it might have been much easier rather than them sit down, start the technology, start, you know. So those are the things that I'm actually talking about. And when we talk about this, it gives me an idea, what if we then start to call, after we engage with the department, part of it, they really have to work on that and come back with a plan, which is much clearer on that area, as part of starting to implement issues that we think, you know, because we still wanted to talk to PCT at some point. We still have to visit them. We understand they're structuring, they're cleaning up good. But we need more than that, you know, because I'm scared of a situation where the sitters are starting to cluster. All the sitters, they might cluster them in a way that we get lost. We need PCT for this oversight of PALAMA and the training. And but we definitely need it as public safety and administration and as this committee. We definitely really need it. So they must be clear about the story before they are absorbed there and clustered. They must be clustered with understanding. But at the same time, they must have cleared all those areas of the overlap and they must be seen working as one force. It might give them a little bit of a gist, you know, towards that we relate this way. So what PCT was also, I don't know why is it not accrediting the training, the IT training as well, that can be done by government, where CETA can assist, CETA in FITA can really assist on that. They should have, I think they should. We can engage, we can look at it, but when we talk of those synergies, that's where we actually think they can come. So I think we do have a program to look into there, you know, based on the issues that you're also raising. And then also, we also wanted to meet the CETA all along. And then we want PALAMA, not really, I think they've got the story right, except here and there. But we need to see it starting to implement all those areas they talk about, you know, because they, you know, because they talk of community development workers being trained somewhere, PALAMA existing somewhere. You know, and they haven't integrated that area. So we would really have to talk to the department to look into this area, come back to us. We want to really see how are we going to work on it. Then they must come together with those entities, give us feedback. Because we're interested to see that area. We think that's the first area where they can synergize, come back to us with a response. You know, if we all agree that that's one area that we're looking at. So that program of that overlap in that area, which can also pull the CETA. Now, Honorable Dreyer, raising the issue of CETA, FITA, again, I think let's go and really look into the issue of mandates by the legislation, you know, and let's just go back and then let's get feedback on that. You know, what if the end is that mandate by the legislation, it actually binds them to work with departments. And we'll look at it, how does it come? Does it, even if there's a mandate by legislation, but there's a choice, you know, let's look at how that legislation is being developed. And then if then it's not developed, then if it's within the CETA Act, yes. Yes, so that, you know, then what it actually says is that we have technology as government. So if we have technology as a standing as CETA, why then can't we find integration? If everybody brings his or her, you know, its own technology, what does it mean for us? Those are the areas that actually that synergy where we want. If it's binded by the Act, as this committee, I think we then have to start to take our role. We're overseeing you and that you're not working together. We're actually saying, how can you? Well, CETA has potential. If it's able to go to an extent of billions, it means now they've got a capacity. They can definitely do some better work. And we've realized that public service and administration is not doing its job of getting into the department, commanding what it's supposed to do. It has actually it's a little bit running short of commanding its own authority. The finance, you know, national treasurer does command its authority, does put policies, does say, I can't give you money if you don't give me 1, 2, 3. Public service and administration must have that authority to do that. You know, otherwise then they'll only be called, like now when we hear over the news that the Minister for Correctional Services has now transferred the issue of a commissioner to the public. We don't want it to be that. They must have rules themselves People must comply to those rules. It's easier rather than when people get problems. By the way, it's public safety and administration. It shouldn't be that way. They must command, right? This is what you, this is compliance. You know, I'm glad that the minister was open and honest to tell us that no, you know, we do have that power. They have the DG when we had a presentation first. They said no, you can't go to another department and command them. Yes, of course, people want to protect the territory. We know that's how people work. But if you're binded by an establishment where it's cross-cutting, people must do their job as well. Otherwise, what's the point of having public safety administration as a department while it's supposed to cut across? So my opinion is that I'm taking serious, I actually took serious the issue that all of you members raised in that strategic planning of synergizing and integrating these things. And, you know, once we can have that, I'm sure many things might flow along that. People are noticing that the systems of government don't really talk to one another. We develop this, we develop something else. Packages, pockets have got a lot of pockets of things that are in silos and they're really killing for this government. You know, one of the biggest questions is why is government not functioning? Why is this environment not taking place? So that's a big question that we have to ask and make sure that from time to time we engage with this institution and say, why if we have if something like this is not working for all of us, why if we have a good particular thing, the only thing about it, without implementing it, without Palama being directly linked to that particular and so on. I think that that's my take on this whole matter. That's why, in my opinion, it needs more than just minutes. We need to have an integrated approach that looks into all these things. You know, what I really brought the plans together, I've got deep into most of them, but it's more than this. It's more than what we just see. You know, we, in my opinion, this committee, together with the department, are the ones that are on the receiving end in terms of government not functioning. And we might be, you know, we might be, people might ask, why, what is the committee doing? You know, first things coming bits and pieces, auditor general, so on and so on. We are central, frankly. Most of the things should actually be driven from this point. So once we talk about these things, we also have to realize the challenge that is facing us. Because then the next issue which we have is the issue of the CETA. It's a big issue for us. That's CITA. It's another big issue, and we raised it. And we realized when we met with them as well that, no, many things are not right. We believe that the department is working on a number of other areas, but they still have to give us as well feedback. Perhaps the meeting that we can have with the department, the first one, is with the three of them. And we need to tell them that we need to see these things. Rather than they come, then they fumble, then we say, why don't you do this? Well, we just tell them that we want 1, 2, 3, 4 when you come here. Tell us how we are going to, how we will deal with this. And then they give us a model, and then we are going to evaluate that model if it works. So that's how we need practicality now. We no longer want meetings, but we need to see the action taking place in those areas. I think based on these issues, honorable members, it's part of, I'm actually saying we do have a report, but in my opinion, we have a challenge as well. Honorable Silver?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This draft strategic planning, when must it be finalized? Will we have a final meeting next week to finalize it before we hand it in? So we can sort of maybe all be to discuss it then by the next meeting and finalize it.
It must include the strategic interventions that we're going to do. You know, exactly what I was saying, Honorable Simon, that we just don't want to say this is what we're going to do, but we need to pull the department and do this, then oversee that. So that's our plan. When we plan to go and do the virtual PD, for instance, visits, then we can't tell anybody it's fine, that we can do on our own. You know, because you don't have to say people must be alert for coming. We go there, they must expel us or treat us bad, and we see that. But we don't want to trap people. We want people to do things. We want to say, okay, how do you approach the issue of Batupi? So, but I'm actually saying that it's 28th for the date that we have finally have to do that. What we can discuss here as the committee, how do we approach this whole thing based on all these issues?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think that in a sense, rather than disputing the areas of concern that I think are tabulated on pages 7 and 8, the next possibility for the committee is to transform them into areas of work so that the concerns become areas of work. I think, for example, that the first bullet point about each entity establishing its own administration and it being costly to do that, I think that we could transform that by saying a possible action, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is that we should A, examine whether it is constitutionally possible or desirable, and whether it is administratively feasible. So that, in a sense, that takes us into an area of work to discover what would be a shared services. Is it desirable that independent entity shared administration with the department, and whatever the case may be, if not with the department, is it an independent shared services for the CETA? So I think it takes us into an area of work. The second one, for example, it would be interesting to do a survey on who purchases IT services from CETA and through CETA, and who does not. We can then examine what is the percentage compliance with it, and then we could call in some departments or provinces who do not do it through CETA to find out why they don't do it through CETA and what are their experiences that are not making it, and those who do, to find out what they would want to improve in their procurement through CETA of IT services. So I think that that becomes an area of work. The third one, the overlap, I think we need a structured discussion just with those two to examine whether the overlap is there and B, whether the overlap is necessary. Because it may be that one concentrates on the public service as a whole, middle, junior, down to service level provisions, service delivery staff, and others do it for management level staff. And we may find that the overlap is desirable, but we may want to find a communication. And so what I think one can go on, I think that bullet point, for example, the presentations given by department and entities did not really assist the committee in its objectives. I think we may say, let us sharpen our understanding of our work, what does that accountability per entity mean, and therefore what will we do. So I thought that those were some. The last bullet point on page 7, I'm not sure if we are making a finding that the propensity for corruption in CETA could be an area of concern, because propensity means the existence of it and the appetite for corruption, whereas I think we may be speaking about the possibility. So that's just a change. And then I think a call for greater synergy amongst parliament, the last bullet point on that section was called for. Maybe to turn it from a concern into an action, it may start off by the chairperson convening an all-in, either of chairpersons first and then committees, but an all-in meeting of standing committees that deals with the Auditor General, scope appropriations, public service, because those are the ones who deal with the performance of the state. And so we may want to say that out of all of this, let's put our heads together and do an appraisal of the performance of the state, the state of readiness for delivery by the state. Because then some of the entities that we hold accountable, like PCETA and Balama, could be directed a lot more by the Auditor General, because we may find that what passes as corruption is often a lack of skills in contract management. I found, for example, that many of our procurement departments don't know how companies run rings around them. They hire the best attorneys, the best advocates, to tell them how to circumvent the contract and what not to put in it. we just sit with our legal advisors. And then when you sit down and say, now why is this building not completed? You said it will be completed. Then they point you to the fine print. Now, it's an inability to manage contracts and to write contracts in a way that holds the private sector account. So what I'm saying is, Chairperson, that we may need a session just specifically on those areas of concern to transform the areas of concern into areas of action. And a schedule of discussions, and a schedule of meetings, and a schedule of interventions that I think we may require. So that really is just off the top of my head, and none of the suggestions I've made are considered suggestions in any kind of way. But I just thought that it's helpful because some of the things that are said here were said. You can't change the minutes retrospectively. But you can change, you can decide on the actions that may need to be taken.
Yeah, I think maybe it's actually, you are raising also another thing that sometimes maybe it's because also ourselves who work in silos in parliament.
Yes.
Perhaps we need to start to have an approach where, you know, those who deal with service delivery move together in terms of addressing particular issues. And in fact, you raised this thing that the person who's sharing the Auditor General was actually talking about how can we work on that issue that was raised by the Auditor General at some point. So it actually means that, yeah, when we talk of integrated approach, perhaps we need to think about it. And I would really agree with us having facilitating a session where not only in silos, but where we look at issues in a broader way. I don't know how other members think about this. I think it's best for us to have a coordinated, integrated approach where we actually bring other relevant committees that actually deal with issues that relate to service delivery, so that we do a cluster approach coordination. That makes a lot of sense.
But the difference with Chairperson, if accountability is integrated, the chances are that practice will become integrated.
But I actually think that we can look into an integrated approach. Perhaps we try to see if we can have the next meeting with also the class, this other chapter of other classes. But not only a meeting, we need to identify what is it that you want from that meeting.
So
also,
it may be useful, Chairperson, just to invite the chairperson to sit down with you, to say all of these.
Okay.
So they don't think that there's an imperialism from outside. I think just to sit down and say, this is our experience. These are the questions we're asking. You've got part of the answers. Let's put the pieces of the puzzle together and we have a better understanding of what's going wrong in the state and how we should put it right.
So, can we then
agree that members can go back and get into the details of the report? Forward the suggestions as much as possible, and then we identify key areas of all of us, you know, because with this small space of time, it's going to be difficult for us to say that. But we can also be guided by the program. We will be getting into the oversight period. So, perhaps this will help us to have that oversight we talk about, where maybe it might be looking into various aspects. But can we then say to members that let us also go with a thankful for this draft and we can go back and then reinforce areas. But in terms of prioritizing our work, we're all open to identify. You know, if there are various ideas, it might help to pick up the best and align them that way. We will have a one-year plan and we'll have a five-year plan. So we'll prioritize the annual one. Then it will also, we need to have a long plan which will review annually, you know, if it's still relevant. But, you know, we definitely have to have a plan that we talk about of moving into not meetings where we find out some of this, but of action on those areas. And I agree fully, if it's an integrated approach where it's clustered, it will work better. I don't know if you must have other things to raise, except for the fact that in terms of tomorrow, things that affect the committee. Tomorrow there's the public service commissioners that we have actually shortlisted, have been appointed, will be presented in terms of the program of Parliament. And that's the area of our committee, just for members to calls, particularly those who are within our committee, have to be part of Parliament when we deal with also that aspect. It gets presented in terms of, you know, they get presented by into the House before they are actually appointed by the President. And then thereafter again.
Just on a point of clarity regarding the procedure tomorrow, the report's been tabled, circulated through the ACPs, so it's on tomorrow's agenda. Will you make, as the chairman of the committee, just make, kind of motivate to speak to the report? Will there be any debate at all? Agreeing?
Yeah. They did talk about they will allocate 10 minutes, but I don't know how they break down the 10 minutes. Is it 10 minutes? The chairman said, I'm going to find out now how is it actually broken down. But they have given me a letter where they actually indicate that 10 minutes is allocated, you know. So I don't know whether it's breaking down into some time. I'll be happy if maybe it's not only one person talking on the matter. That would have been paid for, okay. But can we say we'll coordinate that for an hour after here? We'll just find out in terms of the process. We'll communicate if it can be broken down, you know, and then. Because we just present the report, this is what happened, this is the Public Service Commission, this is what happened, these are the people that are nominated. I don't see it as a complicated process.
Yeah, just to clarify, I'm not requesting a debate, because I don't think it's necessary, seeing we reached consensus throughout the process on this thing. So I thought, obviously, you know, the chairman of the committee has to just present the report on behalf of the committee. From our side, obviously, we got curve with it, we were part of it, and we reached consensus. There's not really a debate.
Yeah. Yeah, what I was saying actually, what we wanted to check,
I was even thinking that maybe we can break it to 7 and 3 minutes, if it's possible. So, Sheila is checking if it can work that way, then we'll revert to you if that, you know, was to me, that will, yeah, it's just fine to share that at that time. Those will just outline and then we'll conclude it's finished. Okay. Okay. Okay, the very last issue now is that last time we actually deferred the minutes. You know, we've got the minutes for all the meetings that we've been attending. I did get a chance of reading them, so because they were sent to us in advance, I've gone through them. So we just want to formally put it in front of the committee and get it from the committee if these minutes are being adopted, so that we're able to sort of minute all activities, all meetings that are taking place, and then they get recorded appropriately. It is a process that definitely they have to be adopted by the committee before they own them as the minutes of this committee. There are 4 sets. I definitely got a chance to go through all of them. And I would like to, maybe let's go set by set.
Before you go set by set, I'm just working out how apologies work. Because I see out of all of these minutes, it's only myself and Honorable Chuti who had occasion to apologize. But I have a sense that there were others who were absent or not in those meetings. Are they noted as
absence, it is better not to apologize because then your name doesn't appear under apologies. Just what is the logic in it? Because I'd hate to think that I'm the only one who was not an alternative, but was ever absent from this committee.
And you're
the
only
I just don't know, but you know, in the past we didn't have stability in the committees, so you find that people were double booked for committees, and then sometimes it's not to say they were not there, they were just in another committee. So now we've got confirmation of people who sit in committees. I don't know if that's the reason, you know, why we don't have absent, because we should see them as absent.
I'm
the blanket one. Yeah, but yeah, I think we are raising. Yes, but we need to then say absent, say who's absent, you know, so that because now we know who is part of the committee.
Yeah,
I'm just sure that's the problem. The minutes, honorable members, any move for adoption of the minutes? Oh, it's already.
I don't know if I'm lost. On the 24th June, the last page 4, page 3, 4, last one. Consideration of budget vote report. If I'm not lost, Honorable Dreyer proposed that the draft budget vote report not to be adopted in their current format. So we have agreed and adopted the budget. I don't know when did Honorable William seconded that motion. We even go to the extent that we may vote for the budget vote to be adopted, if I'm not lost, but I remember.
I don't remember, definitely it's not the same meetings that you talk about. Yeah, but this one was for the budget vote. the one that you talk about is the one that was in Market Building. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So in this meeting, it has it occurred the very same way as recorded on the minutes.
I think this was where the budgets were part of the various entities' presentation.
Yeah.
And we said that we couldn't adopt it because it was the department's presentation.
I don't remember that the meeting that you talk about is the one that followed this one.
Okay.
Yes.
Children, can I propose the adoption of the 24th of
proposal on the table to have a seconded. So we are on the 25th of June. The 24th we've already adopted. We've got the 25th set, which is the one.
I propose the adoption of the report for the 25th of June.
Adoption proposed. How long seconding? The 25th. Minutes of the 25th day. I adopted. 25th.
It's the 25th.
Yes.
Adopting the budget report of the committee. So as I remember, I said that the DA would reserve its position because at that stage we didn't want to commit ourselves to either supporting or opposing the budget. In the end, we supported the budget, but at that stage, I said, but now it says the reports were duly adopted, which is not quite correct because we reserved our rights in terms of that report because the report recommended supporting the budget. And at that stage, we didn't go along with it.
Number two, I made the proposal and we got a second to adopt it. Mm-hmm. If my memory serves me correctly. It's correct.
If Honorable Dreyer did say after the second and so forth, the report was duly adopted while noting the DA
reservation.
Yeah, I think that's an amendment that would be made.
So in the
light
of that,
Yeah,
with that amendment.
I second the proposal.
Which is the last thing? Seconded Mr. Rasool's minutes of the 24th.
Of the meeting of the meeting
of the yeah, it is proposed by
Honorable
Suleiman.
That's the 7th.
No, the 24th.
Yes, that's the very first.
What is myself and then Suleiman.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the day. So we have the meeting for our records, which we have right now.
To prepare the minutes for these meetings, the last meeting and the coming meeting, and we'll consider those minutes before. Can I request the secretary to then send the minutes in advance to the pigeon holes for the members so that they can be able to go through them? And when we come, we just do the correction.
Does the secretary have a definition of advance?
Exhausted the business of the day for today, but you haven't exhausted preparing the plan of action for moving forward. So, in other words, I want to indicate to the members the schedule of committees has been issued out, and then we can apply. We apply for meetings. So I would really want us to meet when we put a plan, a concrete plan, and the rest of the time we'll be dealing with implementation of the plan. So in other words, if members would like us to organize where we facilitate the plan process, when we put a plan, we can do that in one committee meeting, where we can be able to do that. But if members think we can do it individually, coordinate it, put it down, then we can do that and come together and look into what we've put down. And then at the next meeting from now onwards, the other meetings would be focusing on the implementation of our plan of work.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to get another
That's exactly what we know, but what overseas, what purpose,
yeah.
What are we going to achieve, how are we going to do that, you know. So each and every area, we just have to interrogate ourselves, that are we doing the right thing, what is it going to, what can it bring a change in what we're doing.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. You know, Honorable Members, I'm sorry, man, before you leave, there's one thing that we haven't been doing over a long period of time. I think it's best that we definitely have a management committee. Of, you know, the committee can exist, but there must be a management committee where if there's something that we need to run through, first of all, we don't need the whole committee. The management committee looks into it. We want to avoid the monopoly of the chairperson just making decisions on issues, but we need people to be there to just go through what has to be done, and then we're able to do that. And to the best of how it should be composed, it must be multi-party. So we should have DA, we should have, COVID is very active in this committee, we should have DA, maybe even if it's DA, but the chairperson will be part of it, one member from the ANC will be part of it, and then, yeah, we can be four of us.
Okay.
area of the committee. Parents of the week. This is of the room. Yeah. We can choose him to represent us in the management committee.
I'm not sure what the purpose of this
you know, honorable members, yeah, I'm just learning the systems, how they're working, things that have to be done. Yes, of course, I really want to indicate that there was a debate from our side as well. What's the purpose of this? How does it work? I also have that question, but it's definitely what has to be done by the committee. Yeah, you can.
Morning, members. In terms of the management committee, it's just it's composed of a few of the members of the committee, and it just is there to assist with the guidance, the planning, the administrative side, checking if everything is running according to what the members would like. Essentially, it's just there to smoothen the procedure and process and to make sure that the administrative side is adhering to what the committee wants.
Isn't that, by definition, the work of the chair, the whip, and the secretary? Who should be from time to time in addition to, yeah.
One more thing, can I just hold it a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, there's still a debate around this.
But until we decide on that, can we get the three to actually act as the organizers of our
Thank you, honorable members. Then we will be meeting. We'll inform you on time. But please, members, go through the reports. Do send the recommendations. We will try to tighten it as hard as possible. But if there's a need for a facilitation for something, we'll do that. If we are not satisfied about what we can bring on board, which I think we can. Thank you.
Thank you.